Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, we hear Jesus sending out the 72 disciples. Now this is a beautiful picture of our church. If you ever want to see what our church looks like in great detail, just go to this Gospel passage from Luke. Now, what we can take from this right from the very beginning is our church is a missionary church. We are God's people, and we are sent by God into the world to do God's work. It's a basic biblical truth. From the very time of the Old Testament until right now, God is constantly sending his people into the world on mission to do the will of the Father. Moses is sent by God to Egypt to free the Israelites from their slavery. Jeremiah is sent by God to preach and reform the Israelites and then establish a new covenant between the Israelites and God. Isaiah is sent by God to Babylon to proclaim a message of hope to the Israelites enslaved by the Babylonians. John the Baptist is sent by God to prepare the way for Christ. Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he sends the apostles out into the world with a great commission to proclaim the gospel and to baptize all nations. Well, here we see in the gospel this same theme happening. Jesus now sending 72 of his disciples out to towns and cities and villages where he intends to visit. We too are a missionary church. The first thing that we can take from this gospel is our identity. We are a missionary church, even 2,000 years later. The gospel that Jesus Christ gave us is not for our own private use or our own private edification. What we have freely received from Jesus, we must now freely give to all those people that we come into contact in the world. We must bring the good news of Jesus Christ to our own little corner of the world. I often give you that great quote from St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis would always tell his monks, he would say to them, "Preach the word of God every day of your life, and if necessary, use words." Sometimes actions speak louder than words. Therefore, the best way that we can boldly proclaim the gospel to the world is by being a living witness to that gospel, by living out a life of fidelity to the teachings of Christ and his church. Next, in the story, it says, Jesus sent the 72 out in pairs. Our work, the work of the church, is always done together in community. Great example of this is the Mass. Our Mass, or another word for our Mass, is liturgy, which means in Latin, liturgio, which is the work of the people. We gather for Mass as one faith community, one body of Christ. We don't gather as separate individuals. We are not rogue agents acting out on our own. If that were the case, we would be susceptible to discouragement, frustration, anger, depression. We might even quit. See, Jesus knows this. He knows these 72 will face difficult times. After all, doing the work of the Lord is not always going to be easy. They may face discouragement, frustration, and that's why they need to be supported. They need one another. They need each other to encourage the other, to be a source of strength for the other. That's why, if you look at the saints, when they establish their orders, the Franciscan order, the Benedictines, Mother Teresa's order, they always established those orders and they welcomed followers to help them. Next, Jesus tells the disciples, he says, "The harvest is rich, for the workers are few. Therefore ask the master of the harvest to send workers to his harvest. Here Jesus is emphasizing the importance of prayer. Prayer is indispensable in the spiritual life. In fact, Saint Benedict, who is the father of Western monasticism, he gave his monks the great Benedictine rule, which is ora et labora, which means pray and work. Saint Benedict found there is a delicate balance between prayer and work. Benedictines pray 5 times a day, every day, and they also do the work of God in this world. Saint Benedict found, and he taught his monks, that prayer and work are not mutually exclusive. They don't combat each other. Instead, they complement one another. They build upon each other. You know, there's that great story of Billy Graham. Before he ever goes to a city to preach a crusade, he will send a group of followers to a specific city that he intends to go to months and months before he's scheduled to go to that city. This group has one task and only one task, to pray for the success of the crusade. That's why Billy Graham always attributes the success of his crusades to prayer. Prayer is vital to the work of our church. We have to pray for one another. If we don't, our work will not be successful. Next, Jesus says to the disciples, "Do not carry a walking staff or travel bag, or wear no sandals, and greet no one along the way." Jesus here is highlighting the urgency and the single-mindedness. We must have a single-mindedness in our own faith, such that nothing at all, including our material possessions, can distract us or take us away from our mission to do God's work in this world. That's why, remember last week in the Gospel, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus and the apostles lived lives of simplicity. Look at the saints, Saint Benedict, Saint Francis, Mother Teresa. They lived lives of poverty and simplicity. They solely relied upon the grace of God in their life. Recently, there was a documentary about Pope John Paul II, and it interviewed people from his boyhood days until up to his papacy. The one thing that they all had in common in their commentaries and the comments about John Paul II was that they all said he lived a life of simplicity. So must we. We must rely solely upon the grace of God in our life. Next, Jesus tells the apostles, "Stay in the one house, eat and drink what they give you, for the laborer is worth his wage." Here, we have to support the work of the church. And see, this is what stewardship is all about. And again, this is what Jesus is stressing now. We all have to support the work of the church with our time, our talent, and our treasure. We have to, in order for the church to continue to be vital now and in the future. Next, Jesus says, "Into whatever city you go, after they welcome you, eat what they put before you, cure the sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand.'" Well, Jesus was always able to cure the sick, and now he gives the 72 disciples that gift, and they do just that. They cure the sick. Those that are spiritually, physically, and emotionally sick, they now cure. Our church continues that same ministry. Through the sacraments of baptism, confession, anointing of the sick, now the church becomes a living extension of Christ in this world. At the very end of the story, it says, "The disciples came back rejoicing." And why not? They're happy because they have been successful in their mission. Now why? Why were they successful? Is it because they were great orators and were able to win over the people with wonderful speeches? Is it because they were people persons and were able to win over the people because of their great personality? It's because they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They accepted the mission. They supported each other. Prayer was central to their lives. And finally, they allowed themselves to be used as instruments of God's grace in this world to do God's work. So must we. We must do exactly what Jesus tells us to do. Remember in the great story in the wedding feast at Cana, Mary's last words, the last words we ever hear from Mary again in the gospel, she says to the head waiter, "Do what he tells you to do." Those are strong words that we must take to heart. And yet, what's the temptation? To do what we think or feel like. Recently, over the past 5 or 6, 7 years, there's been a term that's been coined. It's called cafeteria-style Catholics. Now, just as we go into a cafeteria and we are able to order any type of food that we want, some Catholics now are developing that mentality. They look at the teachings and the doctrines and dogmas of our church, and they simply select what they don't want and they want to follow. And the things that they like, they will accept and follow. Things that they don't like, they will simply reject. Well, we can't do that. The 72 disciples didn't do that. They didn't pick or choose exactly what or they didn't want to do with regards to Jesus' commands. The 72 didn't say to Jesus, "You know, Jesus, I'll accept this mission, but I'm not going on mission with that guy. He's a jerk." Or they didn't say to Jesus, "Okay, I'll accept the mission. I'll go with him on mission, but there's no way I'm going to pray. I'm going to be far too busy to pray." They did exactly what Jesus told them to do, and that's why they were successful. We too must do the same thing. We must accept all doctrines, dogmas, all the teachings of our church and Jesus Christ in order for us to be successful in our spiritual life. Next, Jesus says to the apostles, "I watched Satan fall from the sky like lightning." What are we to make of this? Well, I think as the kingdom of God is gradually being established and continues in our own day and age to grow, evil in all of its forms is being defeated. Good question that we have to ask ourselves. Do you want to combat evil in this world? If you do, then do the mission or the work of God in this world. Finally, Jesus says to them, "Do not rejoice so much in the fact that demons are subject to you as that your names are written in heaven." Well, Jesus tells them that yes, they should rejoice because they were successful in their mission. More to it, they should rejoice because they participate now in the life as well as the work of Christ. Jesus Christ has deemed all of us worthy to participate in his life as well as in his work in this world. Therefore, we must do it and rejoice in that. Friends, I strongly encourage you, please take some time this week. Reread this gospel passage from Luke. This is a beautiful picture of who we are, who our church is, and what we're all about. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.